accession number 20473, reel 8.
Lendon, reel 8.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what Aggie Weston's was?
Yeah, so Agnes Weston was a do-gooder in the Victorian times, I think, in actual fact, who tried to stop Matlow's drinking in excess. Well, actually, would like to have had him TT altogether. And she must have had a fair amount of money because she opened up clubs where you could go to sleep overnight and go and play whatever they did in those days and what they do now, like, you know, games and one thing and another. But no drink was involved. Now, she opened clubs so many different places. I come across one in Hong Kong when I was there, when I was on the Belfast. And funny enough, the only reason I went into Aggie Weston's that night was because I was away from, quite a decent way from the Fleet Club. I wanted the bed for the night, and he had another club there run by the WVS called the Cheerio Club, and there was no space there. So I went into Aggie Weston's to get a bed. I was well away, actually. But I did get a bed in there, nevertheless. They didn't refuse me a bed, but you get all the pamphlets given to you, all the bump about the dangers of drink and one thing and another. That's what Aggie West is all about. There's still one, I don't know about in Chatham now, because they've virtually shut down now, but there's one in Plymouth, down, only a few doors from the, what they call a home club, which is the Sailor's Home Club there. And there's still an Aggie Weston's there.
So what was the difference between her clubs and Salvation Army?
Well, in a way, the Salvation Army is similar, except that Agnes Weston was to do with Matlow's more or less entirely, rather than being in the Salvation Army. Sally Doodle Allies, as I always call them. You could usually get 15 there and one thing and another, but generally speaking, we never did, because they don't like booze anyway, either. But Agnes Weston, that was her thing in life, was to stop sailors drinking. We always have a bit of a laugh about Aggie Weston's.
How do you feel now about having served all those years in the Royal Navy?
I wouldn't have missed it for the world, tell you the truth, because I was very young when I went in anyway. And as it happened, because the war started in 39, it meant that I would have put up with an humdrum job until I got called up, which wouldn't have been until about 1943 or 1944 at my age. But I think the attitude in 38 and 39, well, not so much 38, nobody knew definitely it was going to be a war then, but in 39, was that it's going to happen, let's get in and sort it out. You know, we were fairly keen to get involved, there's no doubt about that. And my brother, who's 2 years older than me, he was exempt because of medical grounds, and it really upset him, it really did. He used to be upset. If I come on leave and he see me, you know, he'd love to have got in, but he couldn't. But no, I don't think it was a waste of time, because I suppose in one sense, if it had been, shall we say, an entrepreneur, something like that, it probably would have been years out of my life. Or if it had been serving me time, maybe that would have been important, but it wasn't. So, to me, I wouldn't have missed it for the world, because it was character-forming, no doubt about that. It forms your character. Service is very good at that and makes you more self-reliant. And I come out of the Navy with no qualifications whatever, except for gunnery. You don't use gunnery in peacetime anyway. So I had to start from scratch. So my missus said to me, "What are you going to do?" I said, "If one thing I'm not going to do, earn me living like a labourer, using me. I've already done that. You do that in the Navy. You work very hard as a seaman. It's very very basic, a lot of things, and it is hard work." And I said, "I'm going to start using this for a change." Uh-huh. As my head. And I seen an advert in the paper, in the Plessy Company, asking for testers, for television testing, experienced people. I think they must have had the tongue in the cheek at the time, because there couldn't have been all that many people experiencing television anyway. But anyway, I went and interviewed for the job, and they said, "What qualifications you got?" I said, "None." They said, "Well, you're a telegraphist in the Navy." I said, "No, I was a seaman." So the chap who interviewed me, he said, look, he said, we like Matlows. He said, they get here on time and they're reliable. He said, but we do need experience. He said, but I'll give you a try. He said, you come here, go down as a tester. We put you with somebody for the first 2 days or so. And then you've got to make a certain grade by the end of the month. Because it's a bonus job. And if you don't, you're out. Well, I'd stayed there for 30 years. And I finished up as test manager. I had to go to night school and to do it all. But I think the Navy makes you reliant on that kind of thing. You know what I mean? You feel as though you can tackle any job. They always say a Matlow can do anything. And they're not very far wrong, really. Because it's amazing how many things you've got to do with ships and you don't know anything about. You can get on with it and do it.